Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta came into office saying he wanted to speed up DOD's progress toward audit readiness. Yesterday, he signaled he hasn't forgotten about that.
Today, DOD is one of only two major agencies that has never had a clean audit opinion on its financial statements. That is inexcusable, and it must change.
Panetta says DOD has made solid progress toward the current congressionally imposed deadline for fully auditable financial statements, but he says the department has to do better. He's imposing his own deadline for one part of a DOD-wide audit. He wants a clean audit opinion on the department's statement of budgetary resources no later than 2014, 3 years before the legal threshold.
This focused approach prioritizes the information we use in managing the department, and will give our financial managers the key tools they need to track spending, identify waste, and improve the way the Pentagon does business as soon as possible. I've directed the DOD comptroller to revise the current plan within 60 days to meet these new goals and still achieve the requirement of overall audit readiness by 2017. We owe it to the taxpayers to be transparent and accountable for how we spend their dollars. And under this plan, we will move closer to fulfilling that responsibility.
The statement of budgetary resources is an accounting of funds available to DOD in a given year, tracking inflows and outflows from the Pentagon's accounts. It's an area the Pentagon comptroller has already prioritized. DOD is hoping the Marine Corps will pass an SBR audit for 2011, and it's hoping that will pave the way for successful audits in other parts of DOD. A Pentagon spokeswoman says each of the military services would have to have a clean SBR audit before the DOD could pass a department-wide version. That could be a challenge for some services. The Army, for example, testified just last month that it doesn't expect its statement of budgetary resources to be ready until the end of 2015. Panetta's audit announcement came in wide-ranging testimony today before the House Armed Services Committee, most of it about the budget. He again called on Congress to find ways to reduce the deficit without letting the sequestration process kick in, triggering around $1 trillion in cuts to DOD. He called sequestration a blind, mindless formula, but he says he understands it.
When I was in the Congress serving on the Budget Committee, I served on the conference that developed the so-called Graham-Rudman approach to dealing with these kinds of cuts. But even then, every time the cuts were to take place, the Congress basically postponed it because it was mindless, because it was across the board. It was designed as a gun to be put to the head of the Congress so that it would do the right thing. And I guess what I'm urging the committee, the super committee, to do is do the right thing. Come up with the decisions that should be made, frankly, on the two-thirds of the budget that is still yet to be considered for deficit reduction. You're working with the one-third of the budget in discretionary spending, and it's taken a $1 trillion hit, and defense is going to have to pay up almost half of that. If you're going to be responsible in dealing with the deficit, you have got to consider the mandatory programs, and you've got to consider, obviously, revenue spending that's part of that as well.
Under the debt ceiling deal the President and Congress reached this summer, DOD is already being asked to reduce its planned spending by an estimated $450 billion over the next 10 years. Panetta says those cuts push DOD to the edge. He says both he and the President believe that the Pentagon cannot withstand further reductions. He says the department can manage the $450 billion cut, but it won't be easy, especially given the fact that Congress and the President haven't told DOD to do fewer things.
Neither Congress or the President did away with the challenge of terrorism. That's still very real out there. We still have two wars that we're in. Now, admittedly, we're drawing down in Iraq, but we're still fighting a war in Afghanistan. We've got the threats from Iran and North Korea. We've got cyber attacks that are coming at us left and right. We've got to deal with that threat. It's the battlefield of the future. We've got rising powers in the world that constitute a challenge to us. There are going to be risks here. I'm not kidding you. When you cut the budget by $450 billion, when you make the choices we're going to have to make, there are going to be some risks that are going to be out there. Those risks have to be acceptable, but there are going to be risks. We need to know that.
Panetta says everything has to be on the table as DOD looks for areas to find savings, including military compensation and retirement. He says no decisions have been made on pay and benefits, except for the fact that existing military members would be grandfathered in under current programs. But General Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, poked holes in a recent report by a DoD advisory panel. The Defense Business Board had recommended that the military convert its 20-year pension system into something more like a private sector retirement plan in order to tackle ballooning personnel costs.
I reject the characterization of our military retirement program today as kind of gilt-edged and the comparison to civilian retirement programs. Look, it might turn out that our current plan is unaffordable and we'll have to do something about it. But when we put a retirement program together, it's because these young men and women who become old men and women who serve for 20 years, who put themselves in harm's way, who move 10 or 15 times, who can, some of them can buy a house, some of them can't. Their spouses rarely can have employment because we move them around. Not voluntarily. They move because we tell them to go where the nation needs them. That retirement program needs to be fundamentally different than anything you find in the civilian sector, in my view. We can figure it out. We need the time to do so. If it's unaffordable, we'll react.
In his proposal to the Deficit Reduction Supercommittee, President Obama suggested the creation of a special commission to study military retirement. The panel would make recommendations for changes. The president could accept or reject them. If he accepted them, Congress would have to adopt them or reject them in an up or down vote. Dempsey says personnel is an area that would suffer in particular if DOD has to make further budget cuts. He says the effects are not something the military could recover from.
If some of the cuts occur in the magnitude and, more important, with the targets as they're described right now in sequestration, and it causes us to riff, we lose that core. We've seen this happen in the 80s, in the 90s, right after Desert Storm, where we created a bathtub, if you will, of captains and majors who exited the service. And then when we had to regrow the Army by 65,000 as a result of the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, where we suffered was not in the basic rifle infantrymen. We can grow them. We can grow them in 20 to 30 weeks. You can't grow a captain, a major, a lieutenant colonel, a sergeant major in 20 to 30 weeks. And if we're not careful with this and we have a migration of that talent out of the Army, that's irrevocable for probably 10 or 15 years.
Panetta and Dempsey had a largely friendly audience among members of the House Armed Services Committee. Both the chairman and the ranking member agreed Congress can't allow the sequestration cuts to happen. Some members of the public audience were less friendly. Panetta's testimony was interrupted at least four times by anti-war demonstrators in the hearing room. Capitol Police arrested eight people for disrupting Congress and, in one case, for assault. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.